Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and this week I want to shine a light on extraordinary courage, resilience and hope. A story that reminds us that even in life's most challenging moments, a person can rise, inspire and create real change. Today's guest is a young man whose strength and grace have touched hearts across the UK and beyond. Amrit Paul has been living with chronic kidney disease since childhood, a condition that now means he spends 9 hours every night on dialysis to stay alive. Yet instead of giving up, he's using his journey to inspire awareness, gratitude and action. Through his campaign, the Amrit Kidney Appeal, he's helping people understand the importance of organ donation while opening up about his journey with honesty and hope. According to the NHS Blood and Transplant, more than 8,000 people in the UK are currently waiting for an organ transplant, and around 5,000 of those people are waiting for a kidney. Every day, lives are lost while waiting. Amrit's mission is to change that. One story, one donor, one miracle at a time. Amrit, it's such a pleasure to have you here. And for our listeners, this conversation is extra special for me because you're not only an inspiration to many, you're also my nephew. I've seen your courage and determination up close, and I couldn't be more prouder to share your story today. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. And yeah, it's really nice just to be able to speak with you one-on-one about, you know, my situation, my experiences with chronic kidney disease, and even just being on the list for a transplant.
And I really appreciate you joining me. Amrit, can you share a little about yourself and when you first learned about your kidney condition and how it shaped your journey so far?
Yeah, so I was born with chronic kidney disease, and in short, what that means is basically my kidneys have been scarred majorly, and so they're not able to function properly. And throughout the years, the function of my kidneys deteriorated to the point where when I was 20, I think, final year of university, I was told that I'll need a kidney transplant. And you can imagine the, you know, last year of university, especially with my finals happening, it kind of turned my world upside down at that point. Just trying to understand what it actually means for the rest of my life, but also at that point, you know, how will it affect my journey as a young adult and throughout life?
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, it's so difficult to hear that somebody is actually going through something like that and what this means to you as well. No one really, apart from those who are experiencing it or in it, can understand that kind of emotion that goes with learning about kidney disease or any kind of disease. So what has that experience taught you about strength, both physical and emotional?
It's taught me a lot. I mean, it's pretty much, at the moment at least, my whole life. You know, this is what is happening to me every minute of the day for, you know, it's been happening really for my whole life, but to understand more so about needing a transplant. And, you know, I'm on dialysis now, so my life changed when I was put on dialysis. How do you adapt to that? And that was also pretty difficult, but it's given me the understanding of being able to be brave and open enough to speak about the feelings that I'm having around not only just my, you know, my kidneys, but also just in general. Yeah. And be open with my emotions, lean on my friends and family a lot more, take time to enjoy smaller things that happen in life. And yeah, I mean, the way I see it is a blessing, just to be able to, not many people can experience this, and it is a life experience, you know.
Yeah, and that's such an honest and touching reflection, Amrit. Living with something that impacts every minute of your day takes immense courage, especially when it's been part of your life since childhood. And it sounds like dialysis has not only changed your routine, but also your outlook, giving you this deeper sense of strength and purpose. And for those who may not fully understand, what does daily life look like when you're on dialysis 9 hours a night? I mean, if you don't mind, just explain exactly what dialysis is as well, because a lot of people won't understand why people need dialysis.
Mm-hmm. So there's two types of dialysis. One is called hemodialysis, and that's done through the blood. And the one that I'm on is called peritoneal dialysis, and that is done through a catheter. Basically, you hook up to a machine and you get filled with a glucose liquid that basically does the job of your kidneys. So it removes the toxins from your body via the machine. Like I said, different people, some people could be doing it once a week. Some people could be doing it 3 times a week. For me, it's every day for 9 hours. And when I first was on dialysis, it was a lot shorter than that. I think I was on it for maybe about 7 hours every other day. And just as the kidneys have kind of deteriorated, I need to be on dialysis in order to basically survive. And so I'm on it daily for 9 hours so that the toxins that get built up in your body are removed.
And I really appreciate you explaining exactly what it is. And so dialysis is what keeps you alive. And it's very difficult for people to understand this. And I think a lot of people think once you're on dialysis, that's it, you're home free and you can carry on as normal. It's not easy dealing with the physical and the emotional aspects of that either, is it? And I know that your campaign, Amrit, has reached so many through social media and community awareness and making people aware of dialysis and what kidney disease is. What inspired you to start Amrit Kidney Appeal? Because it's not easy starting something so personal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first found out, I was pretty closed off. I think it was so shocking, you know, living with chronic kidney disease, I don't know anything else up until that point where they said I'd need a transplant. And that is a whole different conversation. When I first found out, I was a bit afraid to tell people around me, just because I didn't know myself how to manage it. So just being, you know, afraid of what people might think, what people might say. So I kind of just focused on dialysis and being on the waiting list of the NHS. But it's been about 5 years now. And I think there was a turning point where I kind of realized I need to be doing more for myself and, you know, give myself a helping hand. So that's the main reason, really. And luckily enough, just around that time where I was having these feelings and trying to, I guess, put myself out there with trying to find a donor and start the campaign, I was lucky. I got reached out to by Channel 5, BBC, different radio stations and whatnot, and that's also what's helped me feel a lot more confident in my skin to be able to, you know, even speak today about my situation and just bring a bit more awareness and hopefully find someone that is able to kind of give me my life back.
Many people might not realize how vulnerable that can feel, especially when you're unsure how others will react. And it's completely understandable, Amrit, coming to terms with something so life-changing and then finding the courage to talk about it takes incredible emotional strength. And it's natural to want to protect yourself at first, especially when you're unsure how people will respond. But by sharing your journey so openly now, you're helping others feel less alone and more informed, which is really important. And that's incredible, Amrit. And what a powerful shift that must have been. But also, of course, being a family member myself, but your family, your immediate family, has been by your side throughout. How has this experience brought you closer together, and how have you supported one another through the emotional ups and downs?
I think just even understanding, so I've got two siblings, I've got an older sister and a younger brother, and, well, as you're aware, but it's brought me closer to them because they've come to realize, you know, how much of an effect, just in general, you know, the kidneys have on your body, but also what does day-to-day life look like for me as their sibling, you know, whether it's, you know, when I was younger, me and my brother used to play fight. Are we always able to do that now? He's a lot more gentle, even though I try to annoy him. Being closer with my sister, just being able to go out and, you know, even speak with her, go for a coffee, go for a drink, go for a meal with my siblings, and being able to open up about how I'm feeling, and also allow them to express themselves with how they're feeling. And then with my parents as well, they've kind of just been my backbone. It has been really tough at times, physically and mentally. Yeah. And regardless of what I'm feeling, they're always there, you know. And both parents have been pushing for this campaign as well. They're really the leaders for Amric Kidney Appeal. And just making sure that, you know, when people are reaching out or interested to understand more, or even trying to offer help, they're kind of there just to manage that instead of me having to take on this whole big burden as well as, you know, the campaign.
Yes, of course. And it's not an easy process. And that's such a heartfelt and grounded answer. And it really shows the deep bond within your family, and it's lovely that your parents are supporting you, your siblings are there for you. And chronic illness can impact every aspect of your life, as we've already learned. That's work, friendships, dating, and independence. How have you managed to maintain balance and purpose while navigating all of that and the campaign? I know it's not always easy, you got your family there, but personally, how are you balancing that? What goes through your mind?
Resilience, perseverance, just looking at or feeling or trying to imagine, you know, what life will be like once I have my transplant. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be a lot better than being on dialysis. And, you know, currently there's so much physical aspects that people don't realize, whether it's constantly going to the hospital with dialysis. There's so many boxes, there's so many deliveries that happen. So even, you know, setting up the machine, showering is a different aspect. Going to the gym is a lot tougher. Food, being able to go out, you know, on a night out, for example. Even during the day, being able to go out and actually being able to have the energy to do so. All of these things are what I'm going through at the moment. And, you know, I'm grateful that I'm able to do a lot of stuff because, again, like I mentioned, the two forms of dialysis, not everybody is able to do what I'm able to do. So I'm grateful for that. But again, like I said, it's just feeling strong enough to keep going each day. And firstly, hopefully find that donor for me. And secondly, being able to kind of live a more normal life than I'm currently living.
As you said, it's not easy, but it's inspiring that even with all those challenges, you're still able to visualize the future and hold on to hope for life after your transplant. And that mindset, seeing beyond the present and focusing on what's possible, is such a testament to your strength. And I really appreciate that beautiful perspective, Amric, because even in the middle of everything, you're managing the fatigue, the hospital visits, the daily challenges, and you still find gratitude for what you can do. And that's such a powerful mindset, and it really shows the resilience you've built over the years. And this journey has changed your perspective on life, your priorities, and what truly matters. Yeah. How has it changed your perspective? I know you said about having that gratitude, but what else can you share with our audience that will help them understand not only yourself and your journey, but those who they may know who are on the waiting list for a donor?
It's given me an understanding of, like you mentioned, what are my priorities? What does actually matter in life? You know, being there for your friends and family, I think that's something that I have really felt is a lot more important, you know, having to be there. There's so many people that are there for me, and just to be able to be there for someone else and give them that time, or, you know, allow them to speak and share their feelings or their experiences, good or bad, I feel like that's something that I've really come to understand, that I actually quite like to be there for people and listen and maybe try to give, you know, my two cents or not, just being there. And then again, it's just realizing, you know, everyone is going through their own journey in life. I'm not the only one who's going through this experience. And again, there's so many more people that are going through other experiences, whether it's good or bad. And just trying to understand that, you know, we always have to, as people, help each other, be kind to each other, just keep moving forward, honestly. I think that's a main, I guess, lesson I've learned, is you can't be stale or still and feel bad for the situation that you're in, because that doesn't do anything but harm you, you know. And you have to be positive and resilient and think about what more can you be doing for yourself and others.
And that's such a heartfelt and mature outlook, Amrit, the way you've turned something so challenging into a deeper understanding of empathy and connection is incredibly moving. Amrit, thank you for sharing your heart so openly. We'll continue this powerful conversation in just a moment, but first let's take a short break for a word from our sponsors. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today I'm joined by the inspiring Amrit Paul, a young man who's using his own journey with chronic kidney disease to raise awareness and inspire others through Amrit Kidney Appeal. Before the break, we talked about his diagnosis and the power of turning pain into purpose. Amrit, thank you for sharing so far. Now, sometimes Those who may not realise the impact of organ donation, especially for those who don't understand it, can you explain how a kidney transplant could transform your life?
Yeah, so one, I think, misconception as well is that people don't realise that anyone can live on one kidney, one functioning kidney. And that's all I need, really, in order to basically live. You can only be on dialysis for so long until it stops functioning. And after that, well, yeah. So in order to basically live that comfortable life, I'll need a kidney transplant to get me off dialysis and to get the kidneys functioning, get that organ going.
Yes, and the misconceptions you mentioned about someone who is a donor, what are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about being a kidney donor? I know fear is one of them, that, oh, maybe I won't be able to survive, something will happen to me. And it's really important that people understand being a donor, it doesn't mean that your life will end in the sense, mm-hmm. you know, of someone who is battling kidney disease in itself. So what can help our listeners encourage them to come forward as well?
I guess one of the misconceptions, like I said, is firstly about living with one kidney. One thing that people don't realize as well is that the donor is, if not more important to the NHS than the one receiving the donation. Because as you mentioned, you're the one that's going to be going or giving, you know, an organ at the end of the day. So it's so important for the NHS to make sure that firstly, you're healthy. They do so many checks beforehand to make sure that it's actually okay for the one who's donating to be able to do so. Whether it's, you know, health checks, blood checks, muscle tissue checks, all of these things are taken way before the transplant happens, firstly. And even more so, it's all anonymous. So you don't have to feel uncomfortable if, you know, if you were a match, for example, and you actually decided not to go through with it, you're still able to do all of these things and just get checked. Another misconception is that, like I said, you won't be able to live with one kidney, but so many people after the transplant are super healthy. Their lives don't really change. The ones who you're making the change for, the one receiving the donation, that's really whose life you're changing. And I think just in terms of, from my perspective at least, being able to give an organ or, you know, donate, you're giving someone their life back. You're doing much more than you can do in life, helping one another. This is, for me, one of the ultimate ways you can help someone and allow them to experience life as well alongside you.
And that's beautiful, and it's reassuring to know how through the NHS they are ensuring every potential donor is physically and medically fit before even considering surgery. And that level of care really shows how much value is placed on the donor's health and safety. And it's also very compassionate and very insightful, Amrit. It's reassuring for people to hear that simply going through the testing process doesn't commit them to donating, and it's entirely their choice every step of the way.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. So many donors go on to live completely healthy, active lives with one kidney, and I think it's a beautiful act of giving that doesn't take away from your own health, but completely transforms someone like yourself and their future. And Thank you for that powerful message, Amrit. You've really said it beautifully. Giving someone their life back truly is one of the most selfless acts a human being can offer. And it's compassion in its purest form, helping another person live dream and hope again. And many people are willing to help, but they're unsure where to start. What would you say to someone considering becoming a living donor?
There's different forums as well. So when you reach out to, or if you were to reach out to the NHS transplant team, there's always other people that have gone through this experience that you're able to speak to and get their point of view, their opinion on how the experience was.
So for anyone listening who might be considering becoming a donor or even just wants to learn more, that sense of community and guidance could make all the difference. And I think people reaching out on your social media pages will help immensely. Thank you for sharing with such vulnerability and honesty so far, Amrit. Let's take another short break with a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Belinda Wally and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. Let's continue. We're here with the incredible Amrit Paul discussing the inspiring Amrit Kidney Appeal, a campaign that embodies courage, compassion and hope. His story is a powerful reminder that even in the face of hardship, kindness and purpose can still shine through. Welcome back, Amrit.
Thank you.
Now, you've spoken with such positivity and courage on difficult days. What keeps you going? What gives you that strength to keep fighting?
So, this is kind of funny, but I watched this TikTok of a young boy or a young man in the pretty much the same instance as me, same situation. And one thing that he mentioned that he has done is write down all of the things that he currently can't do, which he wants to experience once he's had his transplant. And these are just simple things of being able to go swimming, being able to stay out late with your friends,
yeah.
Being able to shower properly, being able to spontaneously go on holiday, not have to worry about being connected to a machine, all of these small points or experiences. That's really what caught my attention, to think about what do I what is keeping me going and what am I looking forward to? And I think it's just these life experiences in general. I'm 25, I'm still very young, and I'm really excited to be able to experience all of these life experiences, you know. So that's really what's keeping me so positive and excited for the future.
And it's a beautiful reminder that hope doesn't always live in big gestures, does it? But in those simple everyday moments that make life feel full again. I think that's such an inspiring note, because I think a lot of people, like I said, do take these things for granted. And I really appreciate you sharing those simple joys and actually making them so meaningful. And again, your positivity, your outlook, and your ability to find light in the smallest moments remind us all to slow down and appreciate the ordinary things we so easily take for granted. I want to move on to, what changes do you think need to happen in healthcare or public awareness to make donor registration and education more accessible?
I think you just said it. I mean, it needs to be more accessible for the masses. When I tell people that I'm on the waiting list for a transplant, a lot of people don't actually understand what that means. Or even the word dialysis. A lot of people think that it's only old people that can be on dialysis, when there's people younger than me that are on dialysis. So education around, firstly, what do the kidneys do? I don't think a lot of people understand what they do, how it affects day-to-day life. The only people that I've seen have a real understanding of kidney disease are either the people that are going through it, or their loved ones around them, because they're going through the same experience, really.
Yeah.
So there needs to be more awareness into what these organs do, and how would a transplant affect someone, both the one donating. So again, one of the other points as well is that we've come to notice is that not everyone who understands organ donations are genuine people. There's a lot of people that take advantage of the situation, which is kind of sad, just to kind of think that there's someone that's going through such a traumatic experience, and you know, someone is willing enough, or yeah, they're just willing enough to take advantage of that person. So making people aware about what does a actual donor look like. What does that whole experience look like when it's when they're reaching out? What questions to ask? Who to introduce them to? And what I mean by that is what nurses, what transplant teams, who should they be talking to if they have specific questions?
That's, first of all, it's such an important point, Amrit, and you've captured it perfectly. There really does need to be more awareness and education about kidney health and dialysis and transplants, because most people don't realise how vital our kidneys are until something goes wrong, or how many young people, as you mentioned, not just the elderly, live with kidney disease every single day. And again, education is key, understanding what these organs do, how donation can completely transform a life, helps break down the stigma and misconceptions that stop people from stepping forward. And your voice is helping to make that understanding more accessible, and that's what makes your campaign so meaningful. And where you mentioned it, really, it's about trust as well. And honesty, that people have to be kind. And obviously there are a lot of people that come through and they don't have enough knowledge, or they're manipulating the situation as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
And for people who are listening, who may be going through their own health battles, what message would you share about holding on to hope and not allowing people to take for granted or manipulate the situation or vulnerability of people like yourself?
There's always going to be ups and downs in life. One message from me, what I would say is to lean on the people around you. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and allow people to give you that help. You know, this is where community comes into play, and being able to help each other, allow people to support you. One big example from my experience so far is through my campaign, we're trying to find a donor. And with that, there's a lot of people that put themselves forward. Like we said at the start, it can be a lot, not only to manage, you know, physically this condition, but also on top of that, a campaign, and filter through people that are putting themselves forward, and being able to have that community around you to help you with these things. You know, for example, my dad, he's been helping with being able to manage responses from people and helping those people that have put themselves forward to reach out to the right people. And, you know, that's through the NHS transplant nurses. If they were interested in donating but don't have enough information, he's helping those people with pointing them in the right direction. And like I mentioned previously, as unfortunate as it is, there are people that try to take advantage of the situation, whether it's, you know, demanding money or transplants or whatever it may be. There are people within my community, at least, that are able to help me not have to stress about having to deal with people like that, and, you know, also manage this kind of campaign. That's
yes. And we didn't really talk about the dark side of how people do take opportunities for actually manipulate the situation to the extent of demanding money. And that's quite a scary thought as well. And it's not easy navigating through something so delicate as finding a donor, and how it can be emotionally and mentally exhausting. But unfortunately, as you said, there are people who won't always have the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. And what's wonderful is, and it's really inspiring to see how your family, especially your parents and your community, have stepped up to protect you. And also, again, we're building awareness here, because it does take on that emotional weight, helping filter genuine offers from those that aren't, and ensuring the process remains safe and supportive. And I think it's good that we're talking about it right now. Now, finally, Amrit, what would it mean to you personally if someone out there listening today stepped forward to become your donor?
I'd be truly grateful. Like I said, this isn't just a physical condition, it's a mental one as well. And I've also had my ups and downs throughout this journey. And just being able to, like I said, have those moments where I can experience those things that a lot of people are able to experience, some people take for granted, and not feel like I'm held back almost with being on dialysis, with having this disease. So yeah, truly grateful for someone who's able to kind of give me my life back, especially at such a young age, and be able to just experience alongside them all of those life experiences that we all want to have.
And that's such a moving way to close, Amrit. What you've shared captures the full emotional truth of living with kidney disease, and that it's not just a physical battle, but a mental and emotional one too. And your honesty about the ups and downs and your gratitude, despite everything, is incredibly humbling. It's a reminder to all of us to value the simple freedoms we often take for granted, and to recognize how life-changing organ donation can be. Amrit, before we close, I want to, not just as your host, but as your aunt, say how proud I am of you. Your courage, your kindness, and your refusal to give up remind us all that true resilience looks like Amrit Paul. You've turned hardship into hope, and that is the essence of strength. Now, Amrit, if someone wishes to register or become a donor, where can they find you?
Yes, so I'm on all social media platforms. You can type in Amrit Kidney Appeal, and you'll see my campaign and my journey. And if you guys have any questions as well, just even someone you know who is going through a organ transplant, you have questions yourself about how to go about it, feel free to reach out. And one thing I just wanted to say as well, why it's so important for me around this campaign, on especially with social media, is the more people that view this campaign, the more likely I'd be able to get a donation. So please like, share, repost, and spread the word. Help me and be part of my community to, you know, hopefully one day get this donation.
Thank you for sharing that. And to our audience, remember, one decision really can save a life. I'm Belinda Walia, and this has been the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. And to close today's show, we're leaving you with an uplifting reminder of faith and miracles. Miracle by Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding. Because courage isn't about waiting for a miracle, it's about becoming one. Until next time, take care of your health, your heart, and each other.
When you hold me, there's a place I go. It's a different high. Oh no. When you touch me, I get vulnerable in a different life.